Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, will join us very shortly. And he joins us now, Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, because it is Hutton o'clock. Hutton, always appreciate you. Ian Rappaport reported this morning that Will Levis will get the start on Sunday. We just heard from Mike Vrabel at the podium about an hour ago saying, no, I never said that. What do you make of the quarterback situation?
last week I told you guys, I had just had a suspicion we would see both guys in the game. I still think we will. I still think we'll see Malik Willis. I think they'll have packages in for him, but this is a Will Levis game. If Ryan Tannehill can't go, Levis should be the guy, quite frankly. And I think it's just because I think we can watch Malik Willis and know he's not the starter next year. We know that.
Yes.
We can watch him play and know that. He can be the backup. He can be the backup quarterback for the Tennessee Titans if he wants to continue down this path and so the Titans. But Titans need to figure out what they have in Levis. And if Tannehill's not available, by the way, Tannehill, if he is available, he's the guy, but he's not going to be. It should be Levis. And I don't know. Here's my thing on what Vrabel's doing. He wants both guys to prepare during the week, like they don't know what's going on. And I think everyone, it's as clear as day what's happening here. Will Levis is going to start against the Atlanta Falcons.
It is pretty obvious that if it's between believing Ian Rappaport's report and believing what Mike Vrabel says at the podium, probably going to side with Ian Rappaport. But you say you still think that we're going to see a little bit of Malik Willis. What do you think that balance is going to be? Is it Will Levis with a short leash? Is it, like you mentioned, just a couple of packages for Malik Willis to come in? What is the good balance there between seeing both of those quarterbacks?
No, I think the balance is just what down and distance and what situations is Malik Willis at his best? How do you get the most out of his skill set? For the last year and a half, we've heard nothing but Vrabel mention how he doesn't want Willis to just take one read and bounce out of the pocket, where sometimes that's totally fine. And, hey, with this offensive line – sometimes you have to do that. So I think there will be situations where they can use his legs, get him out on the run, get him out of the pocket, and allow some things to either develop with a route with him or with the back out of the backfield with him, or use his legs to go get a first down. But the thing about Willis in the previous game was just the situational awareness, the moments where you take a sack with the clock running down, or you have the deal where there's a busted play because Spears doesn't pick up a block on the edge. And that means Willis on a run where he's going to the pylon, can't get to the pylon, but still tries to get up the sideline and dive for the end zone instead of get out of bounds and save clock. Like those are things that you have to take note of, and hopefully they can improve on with him. But those instances are what I'm saying, where he's not the starter next year. That it's more about those things than it is just overall skill, because the guy's got tons of athleticism that they can use. And I don't think that they would go into a week without trying to have something ready for him, because there's also a scenario where Levis comes in and does not play all that well.
Yeah, it is. And if that happens, I think it would be unfortunate. We're talking with Jonathan Hutton, host of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Now, do you believe because I did mention to Caroline and Willie that if Levis comes in and they see what they want to see from him, do you think this is the beginning of, you know, Will Levis's, you know, stint as starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. This reminds me a bit of the whole VY thing, but it's kind of reversed because this isn't on Tannehill. Whenever they made VY the starter as the rookie, and you know, he goes on to do some really good things and they will go on a run. It reminds me just from the situation of, okay, what if, and then the if happened. and then everyone got on board with the following off season, right? With this case, Mace, Tannehill gives them the best chance to win right now. Mm-hmm. But if you start stacking wins, which the Titans were not doing, then you stick with the hot hand because that's the momentum. And oh, by the way, I think you'll vouch for this. The vets will be on board with that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where you start building the confidence within the locker room, despite what's gone on this week with Kevin Byard or whatever else could go on over the next few days. I'm saying, let it play out, but sure. And this is also on the ankle of Tannehill. And it goes back to another conversation we had last week. If Tannehill knows he's not the guy and he's been team first, he's as tough as they come, he's rehabbing, he's trying to get back on the field, all of those things, I believe. But if you have the option for a certain procedure, maybe last year, you put it aside trying to push through it, when this year it's the business that hits the crossroads with the game. And I'm not saying that Tannehill's doing that. I have no evidence of that. I'm simply saying we've seen players do it before, and that's just the harsh reality of the business, just like it was harsh reality that they traded Kevin Byard.
Do you think the success of Will Levis is predicated on how well Tim Kelly and Charles London gets him prepared for this game and how they approach this game with Will Levis? Because my thing is, he doesn't have to win the game. But if he shows that he has command of what's going on and he's getting better, that's all I, as a guy from outside looking in, that's all I want to see. Damn the wins and losses, because to me the roster's not that good anyway. But if he shows that he's picking up on what's going on, a la, Vince Young or even Steve McNair, it wasn't about wins. It was about, are you improving as a quarterback? So that's what I would love to see. But do you think a lot of that is really, this is where Tim Kelly and Charles London earns their money?
No doubt. But, the other thing, like you're saying, how do they do the game plan with Levis? I'm just thinking about what made him great in his great moments, mm-hmm. Mace, at Kentucky. And it wasn't last year, it was the year prior, where they were able to, they were run first and a defensive-minded football team, where they came around and started surprising people. And to me, that's the game plan, and you let your rookie play off of that. I think the most successful rookies that come into the league have a run game, and they have an O-line that protects them on downs and distances where they've got to throw. But they take their lumps. They take their lumps and get the ball out fast. Have receivers that win 50-50 balls that are going to win the combat catches. We haven't seen that on a routine basis either. And I also haven't seen on a routine basis the desire to just run the ball. So that has to be in the works if you're looking for the best possible success story to come out of all of this. The other good factor here, and I was joking yesterday with Withrow that I'm starting Desmond Ridder on my fantasy team this week because there's always the quarterback you don't assume is going to play great against this Titans defense, and they go out and have a career day for the rest of their career. They'll look back on this week, week 8 in Nashville. But I also say this is not the most daunting opponent to face in your first career start. Now, it's the NFL. It's not going to be easy for a first career start. But, it's better than going up against some of the defenses I've seen from these rookies already. And Levis was pretty high on the radar of many analysts and mock drafters and all that this April for good reason, because he has the skill set necessary that you can see and develop. And if they've been doing what they've been doing behind the scenes, Mace, to your original question, about the game plan, mm-hmm. this should be a development plan for Levis if they've been doing the right things behind the scenes, Kelly and London, because we haven't heard or seen from him all that much. He's been getting practice reps, getting the scout team reps, but then the rookies also traditionally stay after a little bit and work with the coordinator and quarterback coach. So let's see how that has all panned out as well.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So Hutt, if you're, I think we all agree that it's now time to set the table for Levis to have a chance to be the starter. So I thought very early in the press conference today when Teresa asked Mike Vrabel, why not give him all the reps? And he goes into the whole thing. Well, I never said he was the starter, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that's a really good question, though. Like, I think if in our if we're going to wear our amateur GM hat here, our assessment of Malik Willis, I think the consensus is tracking to be a solid backup, maybe a late bloomer way down the road, but not going to be your starter next year. I think that's a very fair assessment that most people would agree with. Then I think maybe there is a good argument for just saying Levis does get all the reps at practice. Agree?
Unless they just want Levis to beat out Willis finally. I mean, that's the other thing is take the damn job.
But doesn't it help to get the reps, though, if you haven't had any reps? I mean, I can see both sides of it. You create the inner competition, but I also see we have to give this guy a chance.
Mm-hmm. Willie, I'm with you, man. Like, I don't – there's to me, there's no benefit in playing a back-and-forth game if Levis is your starter and he's not getting the reps. I'm totally with you. But, like, I also – I'm trying to see, like, why you would split it. You're either legitimately going to – you know, you're splitting reps on the packages or the situations where you're using Willis, or you know, you're wanting Levis to go out there and just grab it and have a great practice week. Meanwhile, I guess I mean it's also fair to say that I mean that he Willis has been the backup, not Levis. So I reading into the whole conversation of the last 2 weeks of, okay, who would be the starter? Are they going to go to Willis? Because Levis has been the third. Well, the third guy's got to take the second string. And they're at least allowing us to know that the second string hasn't been good enough to be named the starter, but they're also not just allowing Levis to, you know, skip over him. When I think in this situation, you might as well do it. Unless you're just going to straight up say, yeah, Willis is going to be used in situational aspects of our game plan, and we're going to use him to the best of his ability because we're going to do the same with Will Levis. We're going to let it rip, and we're going to run the football and let it rip when it's time to throw. Now, Will Levis is going to do that, but he's not going to be nearly as mobile or as athletic as Willis will give you in certain spots. Now it's up to Willis to make the play, but I understand what they see and why they want to use him in certain moments. And I wouldn't force it, but I do think they know it, field position, what's at stake, what they need, and which players are involved in the play that Willis is going to be using and installed, why they're going to him instead of Levis.
Yeah, tricky situation from a lot of fronts, including internally with Malik Willis. Like Derek, you've been saying, you don't want to lose him, right? You want to keep him engaged. You don't want to feel like, hey, I got skipped without even getting my chance. Now you know, that's you got to be delicate with that, but sometimes it is the reality. Like, this, we drafted Will Levis for a reason after we already had you on the roster. So there's a reason they drafted Levis.
Well,
so
here's let me jump in one more time here, because here's a play in mind. On the play where Malik Willis he was supposed to outrun two defenders on the edge for the pylon in London. Spears was up top and turned his head for whatever reason to see if Willis had handed the football off to DeAndre Hopkins on the jet or flip pass. On a jet, because that I guess the pass versus run would determine what Spears is going to do and how he blocks the play away from the ball. And by turning his head, he missed the block. And that's why the confusion happened on get out of bounds or go for the pylon. Well, has that been a play, for instance, that Levis has been running and they want to use that in the red zone? Like that's the situations where I can see Willis in the game. Just because he's clearly practiced it, because he ran it, he kept the ball on what looked like an RPO, maybe a keeper all the way. And you had Hopkins flash in front of his face. You also had Henry flare out of the backfield Hopkins direction, and Willis went the opposite way. I think those are instances where Levis, as the scout team QB, hasn't necessarily been running those snaps.
Jonathan, what did you think of the decision to trade Byard and the return they got?
I mean, the return is better than I thought, honestly. A fifth and a sixth and a player. The fifth and the sixth helped more. And this was a team that had six picks. Three of those six were seventh rounders before the trade. I mean, this is if we all agree, and I think we do, that Malik Willis isn't the starter next year, we also know that the depth wasn't going to improve all that much next year based on the draft capital that they had. They're going to have to make more moves. Doesn't necessarily have to be over the next few days. But the contract itself, Willie, set up the Titans to make this deal. Howie Roseman had called this past offseason about Byard. I know for a fact he's been very high on the Titans' safeties in years past, and he wanted to make a deal prior to making this one and couldn't get it done based on the contract. So the whole restructure of what they did, or the pay cut right before the season, facilitated this. Byard gets to go back to Philly. I'm happy for him because he's playing for a contender. And just overall thoughts immediately is, man, that one of the greatest to put on the jersey, and just overall what he embodied for the team and the community and the area, just legit, self-made too. Like, yeah. from Philly, moves in the eighth grade with his mom when his mom and dad get divorced. In the eighth grade, moves to Atlanta. He's the second oldest, and he and his oldest brother, they end up raising the other, for the most part, raising the other five brothers and sisters that are in the house with them, because his mom was working two, sometimes three jobs. So he would help get the kids a bath, get them dinner, make sure they did their homework, make sure they went to bed on time, all in the eighth and ninth grade. And I think that shaped him into the man he became. And the mentality that he had, and this was even during a time where Kentucky offers him a scholarship. They pull the scholarship last minute. He was going to be a wide receiver, ends up being a safety at Middle Tennessee State because of that, and had options to leave while he was at Middle and chose not to because he wasn't going to pull out the way that Kentucky did. And ends up with the Titans. The whole storyline fits the kind of guy that he is. And, you know, he got paid and didn't walk out in a Boss Hog suit. Like LaJuan. I mean, that's just the different mentality there. And he lived up to the expectations and then some.
I still look, when that happened, when that happened, I was so upset. Like, dude, like, seriously, Taylor, this is what you resort to?
It's like, yeah.
Showboating. Dude,
it wasn't even a showboating. It was just like, man, do you know? I don't even want to go there. It's like, you know what that whole show, that you just can't do that, man. You can't.
And, hey, and the opposite, I'm not.
And Byard was the opposite, yeah.
Taylor was a good player when he was when he was available. I think that's the bigger part. Mm-hmm. He was available. Byard was always in the game, yeah. Even when starters are sitting out for rest for a win and end type game.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Byard's in the game.
Here is the follow-up question that to me is going to be a major, major chapter here. And that is, and we touched on it yesterday, that first press conference where Mike Vrabel is trying to wear both hats. Everybody knows he's in on the decision. Unlike maybe what he could have played with the A.J. Brown. Joe wrote about this in The Athletic, a very good article about this issue of wearing both hats. When you're winning, it's a lot easier for the coach to be in the foxhole. This is my team. We're winning. And I'm making the decisions. I'm buying the groceries, too. It's a little tougher when you're in this mode that we think they're about to go into, which is a little bit more of a developmental, a little more process, a little more plan for next year, the year after. How do you think he's going to handle that? Because we know we've learned a lot about Mike Vrabel, the competitor, the fiery player. That's what he takes with him as a coach. It is not easy to do both. It never is, but especially when you're in this position of you're going to have to turn this roster over.
Yes, and I mean, and now it's, I mean, perception is reality. Vrabel's calling a lot of the shots behind the scenes. And The other aspect as to why I think Vrabel needed to speak on it, and I think Carthon will speak after the trade deadline if they make another move or two, because you want to make sure that you get the total message out there while, you know, you're also open for business. And by the way, Vrabel was also the one that said that, you know, they'll do anything possible to make their team better, a question that Caroline asked right before the bye. It wasn't Carthon. He's the man in charge. There's no other way to – people go to him. Reminds me a lot of Fisher, because when Floyd was up top, you know, we would see him at practice. He would speak quite a bit. But you went to Fisher as kind of the figurehead of whatever they were doing to speak on the player that they had just moved. And I guess that's by design. But with Vrabel, I think it's more because it was – he was not just he gave input, but he was heavy on the input with the decision to do something, because this is not a coach that would sign up for trading a veteran and a captain and a true leader behind the scenes and just be okay with the decision over a phone call, a text, or a quick little chat before he went out to practice. And this, the other part of it, Willie, I think is, and just reading the tea leaves, it was Carthon who asked for the pay cut, right? That's at least the reading of the room. And it was Vrabel who said he appreciated Kevin being a true pro and all that as soon as they got to camp. And here they are, and it's Vrabel that has to speak on it because Vrabel's been around him so long and Carthon had not been. So I think that all that plays a factor into the messaging. But make no mistake, Vrabel had the say on this, and it was Rand's crew that came up with the deal. I mean, that's how I read it. And if you want to have a collaboration, that's how I would see the collaboration going down in those efforts.
Last one for me, Hunt, and quickly. When you heard the news that the Titans were trading Kevin Byard, did you think that the Titans were, for lack of a better word, giving up on the season?
So here's what I thought. I still don't know. I still don't know the answer to that. When I saw that, I'm thinking, okay, the writing was on the wall for this because of what happened this offseason. And the fact that, you know, the heavy hitters, the big money guys on defense aren't necessarily making those same plays we've seen. But I needed to see, okay, is this a for sale sign? Is this, we are open for business, wide open. There's no untouchables. We welcome all that wants to come in and see what we have out for our the yard sale. Or is this, we need picks. The next time we can do this is in the off season, and we can't trade Kevin Byard in the off season. So we don't want to trade. So let's do it now and get what we can. Plus how he's willing to give us a safety in return, plus two picks. I don't know. I think it's a combination of both, but if they start trading more vets, Caroline, that's when I think, yeah, that's a much more difficult sale behind the scenes than we traded away a vet that was very tough, but we have to do both. And it's the hard line of the business, and he's going somewhere where he wants to be, and we're where we need to be going into the off season with more picks than what we had, which was just three picks other than seventh rounders. So it's the chapter is not written on the trade deadline yet. I need to see all of that, but it would certainly tell us by trading him when they did that I don't necessarily think three wins instead of two changes what happens with this deal. And it's just based on the timing of it. They had another week to wait if they wanted to and chose not to.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, always appreciate our time with you on Wednesdays. We'll chat next week.
Thank you so much. And I cannot wait to see how the team responds to all this. They've played well at home, and the Atlanta Falcons are certainly beatable. And this is typically where Vrabel gets a good performance and has good coaching moments with plays. So I'm very eager to see what happens against his former OC.
It really has. It's been a juicy, juicy little bye week. What better way to keep it going than a win?
The line has gone from 1 to 2.5. The Falcons are now the favorites. It started Falcons by 1. Now it's Falcons by 2.5.
I wonder what it would be if Malik Willis was named the starter.
Same. Five, well, five, seven. Right.
Ian Rappaport knows people. Vegas same, knows people, too. So they're setting that line with some knowledge, I think.
That's true. They are also factoring in Atlanta.
Oh, no, Will, are you saying with some knowledge of the trades that are coming up?
No, I think with some knowledge of what the Titans who's look starting? Like yeah, quarterback. At quarterback. Yeah. Like, I think they get their share of injury information. They get their share of inside sure. sources, things like that. True? Right, yeah. I mean, the line's usually pretty good. They're usually pretty good at
no
having an
doubt
accurate
they
line.
Do.
I think it's
no doubt they do.
I'm curious but, now when the people start making their wagers, mm-hmm. does the line move even more? Is one way or the
have
other?
You heard the conspiracy? Have you heard the conspiracy on Bijan Robinson from last week? Can I give this
ooh,
in
the NFL is investigating Falcons, aren't they?
So fantasy football, you know, leagues are all up in arms, right? Because he was active. There was no injury report. Well, whatever. But he played like 13 snaps, and with 33 seconds left to go in the game, he had a carry. And the theory, again, conspiracy theory is that carry and those snaps took place in order to make sure that Vegas and the sports books and the apps that the NFL is in partnership with could say that there was no like trying to underline message of not being on the injury report with a headache the night before and not feeling right. And that no refunds would have to be issued on bets or parlays placed with the Falcons last week and the Bucks. Mm. That's the conspiracy theory.
I might put some stock in that if it was a decided game, but the game went down to literally the last
play. Yeah, and the Falcons won the game, right.
On the last play of the game.
If Bijan doesn't record a stat in that game, all of his bet lines, stat lines are all voided in parlays and wagers. Yeah. So if that's voided, it would have all been held regular standard to anybody that was betting on Bijan.
So what would be the communication system of getting to Arthur? Arthur, I know you're trying to win this game and win a division, but we need you to give the ball to Bijan at least one time before the game. Is there somebody Roger Goodell has a special frequency there? Like how
Arthur
would that work?
Smith's secretary knocks on his door like, Arthur, Sportsbook is on the line.
Yeah, you're trying to get him to play, but he doesn't feel right. And it's like, hey, you don't want to play him. He doesn't feel right. You intended on him being available, but he's active. He's not on the injury report. Why is he not playing? I mean, that's again. I'm not all the way in on that. I just it's not about fantasy football. A lot of the fantasy sites were writing about it. It's not about fantasy football. Why that rule's in place, where you have to disclose how a guy feels, or after you make a road trip, how he wakes up in the hotel.
Right.
So
I like that conspiracy. They didn't build those fancy buildings in the desert.
You just gave two people that love conspiracies
a great conspiracy.
Now we're done for the rest of the week.
Sorry, Willie.
Yeah, like the X-Files over here.
He's going to play a lot on Sunday.
Mulder and Scully to my left here. Ooh, the Falcons beat John Ooh, let's get on the case.
We need to call Arthur.
Mason and
Arthur Smith, not Arthur. Yeah. Arthur Blank, not Arthur Smith.
All the Arthurs. Hutton, you're the best. We'll chat soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Always enjoy this. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's continue the conversation because you've got a bunch of thoughts and we've got a bunch of thoughts. And one thought that I've had is, what does success for Will Levis look like on Sunday? Doesn't necessarily have to show up on the scoreboard, but what would quantify, quote unquote, success, if I can borrow one of Joe Rex Rhodes' gestures of his air quotes. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game in the game Nashville app. Hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for our college football game of the week. Presented by Twin Peaks as Vanderbilt takes on Mississippi Ole Miss at 6:30 p.m. with pregame beginning at 5 p.m. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. So we heard this morning from Ian Rappaport, Will Levis is getting the start. And my first thought was, well, that's weird. That doesn't sound like a Vrabel thing to spill the beans in the middle of the week. So who is that coming from? Where was that report from? And then we heard from Mike Vrabel earlier at his press conference when he said, I never said that that Will was going to be the starter. So Vrabel is still trying to continue to paint this picture of we could see any three of the quarterbacks, Tannehill included. But we can see the writing on the wall we're smart enough to understand that we will not see Tannehill on Sunday. I feel confident in saying that. That's based off of zero reporting, but he's not practicing today. It's Wednesday. We're not going to see Tannehill. I think it's probably more likely than not we're going to see Levis get the start on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so. I think you – listen, Malik Willis, you've given him opportunities, albeit they were not under the best circumstances. I get it, and I feel for the kid. I really do. But there are things within the game that, regardless of what situation you're in, you have to be able to execute those things or know those things. And it just seemed like Malik Willis, those small things, he hasn't quite grasped yet. Because those small, it's not just one small thing. It seems like there's multiple small things which add up to bigger things. You know, so you look at it and say, well, Malik's had his opportunity. Will he get another one? I don't know. Maybe. Will he play again? Maybe. I don't know. If you listen to Vrabel, yeah, he will play this weekend. But I think now you got to give Will Levis an opportunity. You know, you drafted this guy in the second round. You moved up to get him. This situation is sort of – it's not ideal considering the personnel around him, but it is ideal from the standpoint of, okay – it was like, okay, when do we insert this young man into the game? You know, if everything's, you know, perfect, then we would have never gotten the opportunity to truly see who he was as a quarterback or who he is as a quarterback. And then you go into the draft, and I hate to sort of jump all the way to the end of the year, but you go into the draft with a class of quarterbacks that many believe is one of the best classes in decades. Just the guys that are coming out, three, four, five guys that are coming out. So you got to know what you have in your quarterback. Let him go out there and, you know, guide him through it and see how he looks. Again, I don't care about the wins and losses because to me this is not a good roster. I care about the improvement of the quarterback. Is he improving? The problem with Malik Willis, he never improved. Like during last season, and then he looks better this year than he did last year, but that's not saying
it's
not good enough. Yeah. Exactly. It's not good enough to be a starter in this league. So now you got to give, you know, Will Levis an opportunity. You have to. And you got to give him an opportunity in a sense of going out there and just play quarterback. Just play within the parameters we're going to give you. We're going to help you. But go out there and just play football. Don't worry about making mistakes. What you see, believe it. Throw the ball. Don't hesitate. And if he does that, do we want to win? Yes. But if we don't get it, all right, cool. You know, we're not – we look at this team and we don't think we're going to get a lot of wins anyway. But if my quarterback is improving, that tells me going into the draft what I don't need. Because that's going to be the big question. Do I need a quarterback or do I not need a quarterback in this year's draft? Mm-hmm. Because to me, you couldn't do this 20 years ago. You couldn't draft a quarterback 1 year, then the next year draft a quarterback, then the next year draft a quarterback. 20 years ago, you couldn't do that.
You can't really do it now.
You can do it. You can do it a little bit. You can do it better. You can do it now a little bit better than you could back then.
And it's still not ideal.
Because a lot of money isn't tied up in that. Back then, these quarterbacks were making – they were coming in. If you were a first-round pick –
before they ever took a snap.
If you were the first pick in the draft, you were making more money than any quarter, just about any quarterback out there.
That's crazy.
So now it's a little bit easier for you to do it. It's not ideal, like you said, Willie. But they need to find out if this kid can play. Not only play, can you command an offensive team? Can you be the leader, just the leader of the offense for now? Can you do that? If we see that, then we're good. If we don't see that, then we got problems.
And I would like to see a few throws
where
I say to myself, dang, that's a big-time throw. And we all like Malik Willis and his makeup and his work. I haven't seen that. I just haven't seen him make a play like that, not in an NFL regular season game.
No.
Some nice plays here and there in the preseason, but nothing that has me going, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm hoping to see, a ceiling to shoot for with some mistakes in there, but flash me some brilliance. That's what I would look for. That's what I'm looking for success. And then let's work with all the things you're talking about, the leadership and working on the quiet time where you're working in the film room and understanding the game more and more. These are things that are going to take more time. But I'm hoping in the meantime we see some things that you can grasp onto, say, woo, this guy does this big – he's got big time skill. Mm-hmm. That's what Richardson, right? Mm-hmm. Richardson's throw, he's the ultimate example of, wow, did you see that throw? Like the one play where he fires it, you know, and puts it right between two. That was he made a couple incredible throws. That's what you're hoping for, to say this guy could get somewhere. I think that's the early thing that I'm looking for from Levis.
I'm still terrified of this offensive line in front of Will Levis. I am.
But the best best quarterbacks are picked high in the draft, usually with bad teams.
Right.
So you're going to have to make it work with weak offensive lines and limitations somewhere. But somewhere in there, overcome it, at least for some of the time, right, without getting killed. That's the
that's
the trick.
What I'm scared of getting
he's
Will
get
Levis
killed
mm-hmm. because, this, I mean, if this offensive
Many
line—
Many have.
Right. If
in,
this
over
offensive
the
line is— If Tannehill bad behind this offensive line, if Tannehill gets hurt behind this offensive line, I'm terrified of a rookie quarterback who doesn't necessarily know how to protect himself behind this offensive line. But all of that being said, because Will Levis is going to get the start, I'm excited to see what you have in him, because we don't know anything about Will Levis. Because, you know, we could ask the question, does Will Levis give you the best chance to win? We have no idea.
Yeah, and that's why you should play him, to find out.
And I'm still terrified of Will Levis behind this offensive line. But I have no idea if he gives you the best chance to win. If he's getting the start on Sunday, I guess we can probably assume that he gives you the best chance to win, that this team believes that he gives you the best chance to win. I don't know how much that's really saying, considering what we've seen from Malik Willis so far this season. But I'm excited to at least see where he's at, just to get a little bit of a sample size. We haven't seen anything from Will Levis in months.
Can you come to grips, though, as a fan, and I'm talking to everybody right now who follows the team, can you be in a mode where you are willing to say, if they win, great. If not, they're trying to do what they have to do to build a contender. They're not a contender right now.
No.
So how do you get back there? Well, we got to find out if Will Levis can play. Is that not exactly what the Predators are trying to do? Now, I'm not saying what they're doing is going to work. Nobody knows, right? I was on a Vancouver station yesterday, and they asked a question, and I referenced our show a number of times. They asked the question, do you need to break it all the way down so you can have the high picks and go through the pain? Is that the is that the best way to go, as opposed to what the Predators are trying to do and stay competitive, do all the things we've been talking about? I feel like that's kind of where the Titans are. They're in the middle. Like they're not going full breakdown yet. Now, they could decide ultimately, because they feel like they have no choice. Maybe they end up doing something like that. But in the meantime, they have tried to stay competitive. Hasn't gone well. But now they're moving the needle more towards, let's look at next year and the year after. So can the fans accept that? I'm asking that because the Predator fans, I'm surprised. Maybe some aren't, but they're going with it, right? They're in on it. They're buying into, hey, if we win, that's great. But I want to see the young guys. I want to see if these guys who are exciting can turn into something. Now, someday, if those guys turn into pumpkins, then the fans will get rest. Ah. We got to do something else, you know. But don't we think we're there for the Titans?
I think it works.
If Levis is playing, are we really worried if they win the game or not?
I said I'm not, because I just want to see the quarterback get better each time that he goes out there. Whether it's a 1%, 2%, 10%, 20%, whatever. I just want to see him get better. That's what the team wants to see. That's what the guys on offense, those veteran guys that are still there, they want to see. So, as they're going through the season, it's hope that things will eventually get better. We may not make the playoffs this year, more than likely we want, but those veteran guys that are going to be here next year, they're looking at, okay, we believe that he is the guy.
Yeah.
He can do it for us. It works for the Predators because it's one voice. and he's being truthful and honest with you. This is what's going on. It's going to take us some time. Be patient. He's not giving you this back and forth message. It's straight ahead. This is what we're doing. Either you, we want you, we know you're going to be, in, we know you, there's going to be some pain in there, but we're telling you it. So still come out and support us, because eventually we believe it's going to be back where it needs to be. That's where the Titans need to eventually get to. Like, listen, fans, this is what we're doing. There may be some bad times here when the next, what game, how many games? 10, 12 games, 12 games left. There may be some bad times, but this is our focus moving forward.
I think it's unfair to say that the barometer of success for Will Levis is a win or a loss.
Exactly, yeah.
That's totally unfair.
Because what if he plays bad, but they still win?
Or if he plays pretty well and
exactly.
they still lose.
Exactly.
We've seen both of those scenarios uh-huh. with this team.
Well, that's an interesting proposition, is what would you rather see? Some real promise. I mean, again, it's only one game. So you've got to give him 5-10 games at least, right? Some people would say he needs 20 games before you really know what you have. But if he lights it up and they lose 29-28, what's better long term, as opposed to he really struggles but they pull a variable special and fake a punt or something and win 12-10?
Just gotta win.
Both are possible, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's one thing that I know there's some a really big part of the fan base that's so ready for this and so excited for this, because they view Will Levis as the savior of the franchise.
Except for the Tennessee fans that think he's terrible because he played bad against Tennessee.
Yeah, right. Exactly. let's get past that.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there today.
Yeah, right. Let's put Joe Milton out there.
He lost to Vanderbilt too, but you know, I'm not going there. We're not going to go there.
We'll always go there every time. But the big portion of the fan base that's ready for Will Levis because he's the savior of the franchise, maybe he is, maybe he's not, but we're not going to know that on Sunday. So that's the warning that I would like to heed to all of these fans that are like, yes, thank you, Will Levis, thank you, you're going to save everything. If he doesn't play well on Sunday, it doesn't mean that he's terrible. It doesn't mean that he's awful. It doesn't mean that you should tank for Caleb Williams in the first overall pick. I think that we can just pick up on what we've seen from Will Levis and say, this is good, this is bad, this is what you need to go back with the drawing board to.
When we come back, let's give the cautionary tale of another team that has gone through something and where they are right now. That I think it's an interesting thing that hopefully does not happen with the Titans.
Let's get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Welcome.
Hey, join 102.5 The Game and Chase McCabe for the grand opening of Prince's Hot Chicken at the brand new Tanger Outlets in Antioch this Friday from noon to 2 p.m. Come hang out with the suit for a chance to win Preds tickets and enjoy the best hot chicken in Nashville from Prince's Hot Chicken, Nashville's original hot chicken restaurant. So we're breaking down Will Levis. What is the barometer for success for Levis? I frankly don't think it's fair to say, well, if you win the game, then he's great. If you lose the game, then he's awful. Let's be real here. Let's get into some of your thoughts on that. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland is on the line with a thought on Mike Vrabel's press conference. What's up, Adam?
Hey, is he more stressed than usual? Like, I feel like that dude's really stressed. Like, he seems pissed, man. He's just mad
he's
at everybody.
He's pissed at Joe's hands.
You know what it is? I think, like, between the nostalgia of going back to where he was and being great and them loving him, and then just coming back to the responsibility here and how bad things are here. I think he's just like, he's just over it, man. You know what? I'm here for it. I'm so excited about it because I've kind of seen some stuff with Vrabel. I don't know if he's phony. I don't want to call him phony straight up, but the facts, not my opinion, the facts of Mike Vrabel are that he got this job because of how he was as a player, not as a coach. And I know as a coordinator, he led the 32nd ranked defense before he got the head coaching job. He's now a head coach, but he inherited a winner. He did not inherit a loser team. So I'm curious, man. Like, things are about to get real shaky and spicy, dude. I want to see how what are you going to be like when things are good. And so far, he seems pretty hot-headed. So I'm here for it, dude. I got the popcorn. Who else is he going to yell at? Carolina, are you next? Like, is he going to yell at all y'all? Like,
I guess so.
We are avoiding that building.
D-Mace, I don't think he would talk crazy to you because you're a player. But, yeah, I think he's going to just roast everybody like Def Comedy Jam, man.
Yeah, my goodness. So are you out on Vrabel, Adam?
I've been out on Tannehill, so it's hard for me to just be that guy and be out on everybody. I would like to see what he looks like with the next quarterback, because obviously Levis is his. Y'all are totally right when you and Jonathan Hutton's totally right when he says that, like, Vrabel has the decisions right now. So if Levis sucks, then yeah, I'm out. But, you know, we got to at least see. I just want to see what he looks like when we lose, and so far he looks like a baby.
Thank you for your call, Adam. To Adam's point, like, if Vrabel feels more stressed or acts more stressed, he should be stressed. He's 2-11 in the last 13 games. Yeah. Their quarterback's hurt, and they just traded away a captain. I'm sure he's stressed. But it's what do you do from here? What kind of hope can you give the fan base? Whether that's winning games this season or, hey, the quarterback of the future looks pretty good. Looks like he's coming along pretty well. Whatever kind of hope that you can just hang on to. That's what I think this fan base needs.
Well, I mean, this has been a gradual sort of, for Vrabel at least, I think it's been a gradual just like irritation. You know, you go through, first it's how we, and again, you hate to sort of relitigate what happened in the past, but you can, if you just follow the trend, you lose to Cincinnati because your quarterback throws in three interceptions. You have to get on the podium and then say, well, we need to be great around our quarterback, which essentially means my quarterback's not good enough. But then you got to double back and clear everything up. Then you go into the next season. Things are looking great. You're 7-2, whatever it was, and all of a sudden, rash of injuries. Quarterback goes down. Now you lose 8 games in a row. Your GM gets fired. Now all this is starting to build up. And then you get into this season. And I didn't even talk about trading away A.J. Brown, but you get in this season, and it's like you have hope. You go down to New Orleans, and your quarterback starts the season off horrible. Then you're 0-1. Then I believe you're 0-2. And then you win some games, and then you lose. Then your quarterback gets hurt again. Then you trade away your safety. It just seems like it's going gradually downhill. And I think he's trying to save face, but he's getting irritated now. And listen, it comes with the job, dude. That, yeah. I mean, but when things are great.
Job or jobs?
Jobs.
Because now.
Yeah, now, okay, I get what you're saying now, Willie.
So I think that's an interesting part of when I hear Adam talk about it. Is he more frustrated? I don't know. We've heard snippy press conferences before. It's kind of fun.
He's like, always on it.
Especially for us. We're just sitting here listening to it live. I'm not in the position, let's say have a 9 a.m. press conference or something like that. I'm not going to be able to be there.
It's fun
but
when you're,
it's,
not on the
you're sitting
end of
back
the
listening
stare.
To it, and so you take note. We're all listening intently. But now what could be adding a level of stress is now he's got maybe a little bit more responsibility in where they go, the decisions they make for the long term, which is really tough, really tough. Whereas before, he could have just said, look, I didn't want to trade A.J. Brown, but they traded him. There's nothing I can do about it. Well, now there is something he can do about it. But now he's got that extra layer of responsibility.
I don't have any sympathy.
No.
You wanted it, right?
This is what you signed up
for. This is what he signed up for.
This is what you've got. And you can no longer play both sides of it. You can no longer make moves at the trade deadline and then come back and say, well, we're still trying to be competitive and we're still trying to win. Because it's two contradicting ideas. I understand he's in a really difficult position, but this is the job. And I understand that you're in a difficult position now that your starting quarterback goes down. You trade away Kevin Byard, that things feel uncomfortable. You're 2-4 on the season. Things feel uncomfortable. You need some sort of positivity, but that's the job, man.
Yeah, you signed up for it. This is what you wanted. You got more responsibilities. And now no one's looking above you. They're looking right at you because everything is coming from you. So how do you handle that as a head coach? It seems like today he's just got a little snippy. But listen, if you don't start winning, it's going to get even worse. Those questions are going to keep coming and coming and coming, and you got to be able to. And I'm not saying he can. I'm sure he can. But you're going to have to answer all these questions. I just hope for his sake that, you know, Levis goes out there and he plays well. Again, he doesn't have to get the victory. But for his sake, Willis needs to play well. Because if Willis doesn't play well.
Levis.
Levis, excuse me. Yeah. If Levis doesn't play well, then Nobody's looking at Rand Carthon. Nobody's looking at Rand Carthon.
No.
Everybody's looking at Mike Vrabel. And it's just going to continue to heat up, getting hotter and hotter.
Like Robert texts into the text line, says, I think Mike is frustrated that Byard was traded. I don't think he was on board. Mike Vrabel makes the decision.
He's in on it. You can argue if he's making the decision, but at the very least,
he has a bigger hand in
on the decision. Yeah. He's signing off on these decisions.
Yeah, it's like the
and it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. I admire that he was willing to do that because that's not easy when you're the coach. But what's shifting is the decisions they're making about the roster in the future are probably taking precedent or priority over whether they win the games or not on Sunday this year. That's the reality of it. They need to restock.
Well, yeah, and he's, you know, at first when John Robinson was here, he wasn't in the room, and I'm sure he wanted to be in the room. It's sort of like the play, I forget the name of the play, where, you know, it talked about, I want to be in the room when it happens. The guy always wanted to get in the room. I don't know why. I can't remember the play because I watched it about a million times. It came here twice, and I watched it on one of the streams. But in one of the scenes, it was like, I want to be in the room when it happens. I want to be in the room where the decisions are made, and the guy was never in the room when he finally got in the room. That's Vrabel. Vrabel wasn't in the room. Now he's in the room, and you have a bigger say of what's going on. Now you can't deflect. Can't no more deflecting to this person or this person. So if Kevin Byard got traded, you knew what was happening. You had a say in it. Mm-hmm. So you can't be mad about that. At least I don't think.
No. And these are Mike Vrabel moves. There's no move that's made without the express written consent of Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Dee Mace at Teddy's Tavern, located across from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 8 matchup against the Falcons and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed.